Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Including Intuka, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Intuka puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on a Wednesday. Mike Felger here in the a-hole chair. Tony Maz has the day off. That's the good news. The bad news is Big Jim Murray slides over to the Maz chair.
Hi, Mike. Hi.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Excellent. No pleasantries. Let's move on.
How are those eyes?
Well, as long as I got the sunglasses on, I can look up and I can be comfortable and I can do the show and not be a grump.
Okay, if you're watching the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, Big Jim Murray is...
pulling a Zoe.
He just doesn't like the bright lights of the simulcast. What can I tell you? So he puts on the shades and there we go. That's Big Jim Murray. We got Marshall Hook in our update studio. Do a lot of football today. Also, some breaking Red Sox news. They pull a trade here in advance of the deadline. So we'll have some thoughts on where the Red Sox stand today and that trade. But we start with Bill Belichick today and his press conference this morning before we play you the exchange with Dan Shaughnessy. Just your lead takeaway to his performance this morning.
No, it's just another in a long line of one of Bill's useless press conferences that you get nothing from. He essentially spits in the eyes and in the face of the gathered media that's down there. And more than anything else, I hope he's going to be asked about Malcolm Butler and his decision to bench him in Super Bowl 52 from now until the time he's enshrined in Canton. I know we'll never get an answer, but it obviously annoys him. And it did today with the pressing from Dan Shaughnessy, and good on Dan for doing that. But he should be asked every time he's in front of a microphone.
As far as you're concerned, you want him peppered with that question every single day for the rest of his natural born days.
Forever. Forever, until he's in the grave. I know we'll never get the answer, but it obviously annoys him, and he should be asked every single time that there is a camera or microphone in front of his face.
Okay, so Dan Shaughnessy did the deed for us today.
Roger, Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe.
Attaboy, Dan.
That's not who you... Yeah, Bill likes Dan. You know?
Brad, Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe.
Yeah. That's always the first sign of trouble. When the curly-haired... You know, when Danny Shaughnessy with the question, it's like, oh, God.
Oh, my God, I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
I'll tell you.
This is what he lives for.
Scariest day I had, I told you this, in the last couple of years, is the Wood, my wife, the lovely Sarah Underwood from Fox 25, texts me one day and says, Dan Shaughnessy needs your number. He wants to talk to you. I said, oh, God, what did I do? And this might have been after the Roy Halladay thing. It's like, oh, God, I'm going to be fired. He knows something. What did I do? Like, what? There's something.
My problem is with you.
Yes. So, that's the last guy you want asking questions. And then I can't remember what it was. It was about something innocuous. It was something fine. I wasn't in trouble. But when you hear that Shaughnessy wants to ask a few questions, oh, God. Dang it. What did I do?
Roger, Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe.
First sign of trouble. So our boy Danny did the deed today. Here is the Malcolm Butler, the full Malcolm Butler exchange from this morning. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, I know you're all about this year, and we all understand that.
That's right.
And I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask about last year.
Yeah, and last year is last year. I'm not focused on last year. Yeah.
What about the fact that everywhere we go, folks want to ask about Malcolm Butler? I mean, sports coaches, players, university. You're a sports fan.
Yeah, we've talked about that. That's multiple months ago.
Is there going to be any more explanation about why he didn't play?
Focused on training camp.
Would you do it any differently?
Training camp? Well, we're getting started. We'll work on that right now. We'll do it the best we can.
And does it matter to you? Do you care that the fans want to know more about this?
I'm focused on doing the best that I can for the 2018 New England Patriots. That's my job. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I've always done in the past. You know, every day that I've coached here, I've done the best that I could for this football team, and I'll continue to do that. And right now, my focus is on the 2018 season, not 2017, not 2014, not 2007, not 2004, not 2001, not 2000. I'm not focused on any of those seasons. They're done.
And for this season's team, is it important for you to address the Malcolm Butler thing with your team?
It's important for me to have a good season in 2018. I'm going to do everything I can to do that. Do the best that I can for our football team. That's my job, and that's my responsibility. That's what I'm going to try to do. Hopefully you can respect that, but maybe not.
PUD. I mean, it's just such a PUD way to answer that that whole exchange. Hope you can respect that. Good God. And I know you've got a thought on all those years that he rattled off Jim Murray. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, here's my overall takeaway on Bill, is that he doesn't make it easier on himself. And he doesn't make it easier on his team. He doesn't. Because in answering it that way and really carrying himself like an ass, what he does is he just sort of opens himself up and his team up to more questions. And I hear Patriots toadies say all the time that Bill's masterful with the media. Like, he's a genius with the media. He's a master. I was even, you know, I did like ESPN had me, they asked me some questions. They did a whole piece on Bill mastery of the media. And I told them in the piece, I don't know if they used it, but I'll tell you now, like, every time I hear that he's a master in the media, I feel like saying, what are you, because he walks up to the podium and takes a dump on it? That's not being skillful. That's not being artful. That's just being a brat because he can. That's just being obstinate because he can. Because he's won so much and he's so good and he's beaten everybody down, he can get away with it. But that doesn't make it masterful. And by not answering any questions, then you go into the locker room and say, well, what do you think of Butler? Because you didn't get anything at the podium. So does he really deflect from his players? Or does he incentivize us going to ask the players because we didn't get anything at the coaches' press conference?
Oh, it's definitely the latter. And this thing isn't going to go away. And if he really wanted it to and to move on to 2018, he would have addressed it. Even if he had to lie and say, look, I've addressed this with the team. The decision was mine, but I've talked to the team. We can at least move on from that aspect. And the players aren't going to be asked this summer. Now it's going to just continue.
I'm not asking him to explain the Malcolm Butler thing. Note, I do not expect him to give me an answer on Malcolm Butler. That's not the point. In a lot of respects, he shouldn't give an answer on Malcolm Butler. I'm not telling you that he owes us that. I'm telling you about how he handles himself. Do you know who's truly artful and skillful with the media? It's the players and athletes that sound like they're giving you something, but at the end of the day, they really aren't. Maybe it's as simple as they talk to you like a human being. Like, I don't know. We've had a few examples here in town the last generation or so. I thought Doc Rivers fell into this category. I felt Terry Francona a lot of times fell into this category, which is they didn't tell you anything. They didn't give you state secrets. They didn't tell you things that they didn't want to tell you. But at least they talked to you like a human being. And at least it was you felt like you were being treated like an adult. And maybe they gave it to you in a colorful way or in a real human way where you walked away and you had something and you didn't have to go ask Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells didn't, you know, spill state secrets every press conference, but he, you know, his approach was such that he did fill your notebook. It did feel like he was answering your question. You walked away and you got something.
It almost felt like there was a sense of enjoyment at times with Bill Parcells with those press conferences. This, I'm convinced this is the worst part of the job for Bill Belichick.
But those are the guys that are skillful. This takes no skill. It takes no skill to walk to the microphone and say, I'm just talking about this year. I'm just talking about this year. I hope you can respect that. I'm just talking. That doesn't take any skill. Being an ogre, that takes nothing. What takes skill would be answering the question in a way that sort of gave us a story for the day, but didn't really tell you anything. And those guys are out there who can do that. That's how it would be skillful. And if you didn't treat the media like children, if you just like, I don't know, for example, guys, I know you have the question. It was a big game and a bad loss, and you know, I'm sure there's a lot of things we all could have done differently and should have done differently. And, of course, we regret some of the things that happened, but it's not fair for me to answer this question. It's not fair to Malcolm Butler. It's not fair to the players on the team. And I just don't think it's the best thing for our team to open up 2019 talking about 2018.
We want to start fresh.
But just like without the a-hole tone or the condescending tone. Just like a human being, like an actual person, Bill. Like, you're a person and Dan Shaughnessy's a person. And the people sitting there are persons, people, adults with jobs to do. Guys, I get it. I understand. I don't think it's smart for my team to go back and talk about it. So I'm not going to, but I totally get the question. And if just generically speaking, of course, there's a lot of things I think we all regret and a lot of things we would do differently. And that, then there was a tough loss. And so I get it, but I just can't engage you on those questions.
Are you surprised it was the same as always today?
Not one bit.
Yeah, me either.
Not one bit. But good Lord. Like, oh, you just... You know, what about this? I'm here to talk about 2018. What about that? I'm here to talk about 2018. What about this and that? What about your players? I'm here to talk about 2018. I hope you can respect that. Like, what? So what? Why does it have to turn around into like this a-hole condescending scolding of people asking totally reasonable questions on a totally reasonable topic? Why does it have... So it just... This all goes back to... I'm not surprised. It's just every time I hear it, I'm like... Can someone get to him and tell him just to act like a normal human being for a second?
Just once for one of these?
It would help him out. It would. I mean, he's done it a few times. Like, I thought the Aaron Hernandez press conference, he was actually...
Oh, definitely. But that was such a unique situation that
human. So it took one of his players going on a murdering spree for him to act like a normal freaking human being for 5 minutes. Like, which is just crazy. I thought you would take a lesson from that. Act like a normal human being on this, and it... The people are still going to second guess you. It's not going to totally go away. But just the way you carry yourself and how it's all spun afterwards, you could help yourself. If he were truly artful with the media, which he is not, the next person that tells me he's skillful with the media or artful with the media, please.
No, people that say that hate media people.
What?
That's why they say it.
But what a joke. That's not artful. Artful was Bill Parcells, who told you nothing but filled your notebook, and that was the end of the story. That's skill. Or again, some of these other guys who've come through town who at least pretended to act like you were an adult and cared at least a little bit and gave you something in a fashion that gave you the story without still not telling you what they don't want to tell you.
Hell, I think the Bruins have something like that right now with Cassidy.
Maybe. I don't know. Time will tell. I think Doc and Francona from time to time had that ability. So that's being skillful with the media. Bill's not skillful. He can act like an ogre because he's so damn good and has won so much. So he gets away with it. But that doesn't mean, what does it take to be an ogre?
No, it's a verbal mooning every time he gets up on that podium. And that's why people celebrate, or at least the Patriots toadies, as you say. They're the ones that, oh, he's so skillful. No, it's the verbal equivalent of pulling down his pants and opening up his cheeks and saying, talk to this. Huh? Talk to this. This is the answer.
Does he? I mean, we always say this. He doesn't owe the fans anything. He doesn't owe the media anything.
He owes the team something.
Are there some things he does? It's like Aaron Hernandez, he did. You know, like I to say that, you know, you could have one of your players go on a murdering spree and not have to answer for it is, you know, just asinine. So he was smart. He answered for it. But again, he still didn't give you state secrets.
He was just a normal human being.
He was just acting like a normal person. Right? So that's all it takes. And that was a good day for him and a good day for the team. So he did what was right there. But so short of his players going on murdering sprees, are there certain things that he should answer for? Like, should he answer for this? Should he answer for the Butler thing?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I think he should be asked about it forever until he's in the grave.
Okay. You know, and the more I think of it, the more I've come to believe that there is no answer. That's why he doesn't give it. There was no real answer. Malcolm Butler showed up late for the Super Bowl week. Bill already had a hair across his ass for this player because he wouldn't take the cheese on the contract. And so the player had sort of left the reservation to begin with. Then he shows up late for that week. Maybe Bill takes a look at him and says, your head's not in this. F you. I'll win without you, which is no good reason. There is. How come Bill doesn't give you a reason? Really? There is no good reason. There isn't. So we're going to open up talking about this with your thoughts right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm focused on doing the best that I can for the 2018 New England Patriots. That's my job. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I've always done in the past. You know, every day that I've coached here, I've done the best that I could for this football team, and I'll continue to do that. And right now, my focus is on the 2018 season. Not 2017, not 2014, not 2007, not 2004, not 2001, not 2000. I'm not focused on any of those seasons. They're done.
Murray, you had a quick thought on those seasons that he just rattled off? You don't think they were random?
I don't. And look, I find this somewhat fraudulent. For a guy who's always focusing on the coming season, it's about 2018, it's all about this year, I think that there is something specific to those years he rattled off to Dan Shaughnessy. I'm likely reading too much into this, but this is my own theory. Those years he rattled off, they were extremely important to them. 2017. What happened in 2017? He made arguably the worst coaching decision in game in the biggest possible moment in his life. He also realized he's had enough of Tom and Robert's crap, and he had to trade away his football son, Jimmy Garoppolo. Not 2014. What happened in 2014? He drafted his football son, Jimmy Garoppolo. Not 2007. It's the year that he's denied football immortality and the greatest accomplishment in NFL history. He gets skunked in the Super Bowl and is denied the perfect season at 19-0. Not 2004. That's the year that he accomplishes his legacy as the greatest coach of this generation. The dynasty is confirmed. You get back-to-back Super Bowls with the win over the Eagles. Not 2001, the year the dynasty begins. He buries Drew Bledsoe. He finds his guy in Tom Brady. That's where it all starts. Not 2000, what happened in 2000? The year he got the gig. All those years he rattled off, I don't think they're thrown out randomly. They're important to him. And it's not just about 2018 and this year. Those other years matter to him as much as they do to anybody else. I think that there was something to those years he rattled off.
Okay. And when he says he's not here to talk about the past, that's such a lie, too, because he'll bring up games in the past if he thinks it helps him motivate his team that year. Like, you know, believe me, when they go to play the Jets or the Bills, he's going to go back to the last time they lost to the Jets or the Bills. Or the last time the Jets or the Bills, he'll go back and say, yeah, we had to go to the fourth quarter against the Jets last year. Why, we're not taking them lightly. Well, I thought last year didn't matter. So he'll use last year when last year helps him.
Oh, but if you try to bring up, running Steven Jackson, 35 straight times in Miami at the end of 2015, no, we don't talk about the past.
So if last year reflects on him, then, well, I'm trying to get ready for this year. I hope you respect that. So your thoughts, people. Robin the Recliner, lead us off today. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm NIFOC with Murray in that daily cap and sunglasses, but I still have gone with the onions. But
so you need to translate for me quickly.
Naked in front of computer.
God, very good. Okay, Rob, go.
All right. With Belichick, I wouldn't call him masterful at the podium. I mean, he's more of a schmuck, but I mean, you got to love Shaughnessy. He's the only one who will ask questions down there. While not being masterful, I feel like he does accomplish what he wants up there, which is nothing.
So, but what skill does that take? It takes no skill to say no comment. That's not artful. And that's essentially what Bill does. It's a glorified no comment. That is not skillful. It might be disciplined. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe that takes a measure of discipline, but it's not skillful. It's the easiest thing in the world. Skillful is to come across well, make it feel like you're giving them something, but giving them nothing. That takes skill. Bill doesn't have it. Bill does not have it. He doesn't have it on a personal level. He doesn't have it at the podium. He doesn't have it. And every time he's in a situation like this, you see it. And I think he and the organization would be better served if there was some sort of middle ground. No one's asked him to spill the beans and tell us everything that happened.
And look, the point we've reached here after 18 years, then when someone presses him on questions that should be answered, like Shaughnessy did today, it's big news because no one usually even does it because they've all been beaten down at this point because they know they're not going to get anything out of him.
So to say that Dan Shaughnessy is the only one that would do it is not fair. If Dan wasn't there, someone else would have asked him the questions. I don't know if it would have been as...
Oh, Curran does, Volan does. Yeah, I mean, there's a handful that...
Yeah, they're guys who would have asked the question, but they wouldn't have done it in that fashion or that many follow-ups. It wouldn't have come across the same way, but he would have been asked the question, mostly.
Mike and Brad, Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe.
Hey, Dan. Mike, go ahead. Mike in Framingham.
Hey, hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? This thing about the years, a couple things. I don't think it's some Da Vinci code. I think it's just rattling off a bunch of years, because you could say that about every year with the Patriots. And the other thing about how artful his press conferences are. No one ever said he has an artful press conference. Nobody cares. He wins. Rex Ryan, Jim Mora, Herm Edwards, you want those guys? They give great, great press conferences.
Yeah, no, so artful's maybe, you're right. I've never heard anyone say Bill's artful. I didn't. That's just a word that came out of my mouth. But Bill does get this credit for being sort of a master with the media or having this master approach or this genius approach with the media. That is said about him all the time. It's said about him on days like this. Look at the way he's got the media wrapped around him. Look, he just controls the media. It doesn't take anything to say no comment. That takes zero skill. Zero. It takes nothing.
No, again, people enjoy it. Most Patriots fans enjoy it because they look at people like Shaughnessy and those that cover the team and ask the tough questions as flies, and they like him swatting the flies.
Okay, even on Butler?
Oh, well, no, this is the exception to the rule here.
Right. Don't you think there is a good percentage, and I don't know if maybe you could give me the number, the percentage of Patriots fans who want the answer on Butler? Is it 50-50? Is it 70-30? But don't you think there's a...
Oh, yeah, no. It's certainly more than 50-50. I'd say 80-20 to me.
So you'd say more than half of the Patriots fans out there want an answer from Belichick on Butler.
Yeah, because it's inexcusable. There's no answer. And like you said, we're never going to get an answer because there was no real reason that he did it.
Can we do a poll question?
Yeah, Jimmy, put it up, Jimmy.
Jimmy Stewart or I don't know.
Hook.
On NBC Sports.
No, I got it. I got it. I'm the social media person here.
Director, okay, so what's the question? How are you phrasing it?
Do you want an answer from Bill Belichick regarding the Malcolm Butler Super Bowl situation? Yes or no?
Okay, so that's perfect, except, it may be perfect. I just want to discuss the verb. Do you want an answer? Do you feel you're deserved an answer? Should Bill Belichick... I just
Patriots fans, do you deserve an answer from Bill Belichick on Malcolm Butler?
Is it deserved? See, that I feel like... I just want... I think that's...
That feels strong,
yeah,
which I like.
Too strong. No, but that's like... Well, we don't deserve it.
Do you need an answer?
Is this the one time you want Bill to answer the question? Right? You know,
yeah.
Something like that. So do you want is fine. I think how you phrase it the first time is fine. But I just think you can really sort of parse that verb. Like, we aren't owed it. We don't deserve it. But do we want it? Yes. Like,
I don't know. For people that, you know, mortgage their house to make that trip out to Minneapolis this time, if they went to the Super Bowl, people like that that spend their hard-earned money, that have season tickets to go to all these games year after year after year, I think deserve. I don't think that's too strong. Deserve an answer. What the hell were you thinking?
Okay, it's phrased, do you want an answer? And it's on the Felger and Maz Twitter page?
It will be shortly.
Okay, Felger and Maz Twitter page. I don't know if we can do it with the simulcast as well, but I'm just curious about that. And you can also, obviously... Call us, 617-779-0985, and tell us, is this the one time you want the answer? Is this the one time you're with Shaughnessy? Think of that. Run those numbers, why don't you?
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We didn't get a chance to talk to you after Julian Edelman's suspension. So what are your thoughts on not having him for the first four games of the season?
Yeah, well, Julian is a very hard-working player. You know, we're all disappointed, but it is what it is. He's moved on. We've moved on. And, just take what we have now and do the best we can with it. Sure, he's... And he's been here the last couple of days. I think he's got a good attitude, good work ethic, and he'll make the most of the opportunities that he has, wherever those are.
I don't know if there's any real follow-up there. Just want to play some other snippets from Belichick this morning, unless you would have thought, Murray.
No, it was just overall we get nothing, and I hope people keep peppering him about Malcolm Butler. We deserve an answer.
Okay, John in Bradford, you agree? What do you got?
Hey, how you doing? Maybe we should file a FOIA request to get some information. This is ridiculous. I mean, it's not national security. How come there's no leaks about what happened to Butler? Why is everyone so closed-lipped about it? It's crazy. You don't have this kind of stuff going on in Washington, D.C.
Well, I mean, I know.
Leak all the time.
Right? There's more leaks out of there than there are at Foxborough. John, I'll drop you and I'll give you my answer. Why there's not more leaks. Because nothing happened.
Right. It's exactly that. That there's no leaks, I think, proves that it was just, you know, Bill had a hair across his ass. The power was out of whack, he felt like. And you know what? I didn't like how this kid was acting. I'm putting him on the bench.
Why hasn't Belichick given you a reason? He didn't really have one. And until there's information or he does answer it, we're left to our own devices. So here's mine. And I'm sorry. I think, unless, you know, this is going to be evidence to the contrary. I'd like to hear what it is. But this is what I think happened. I think Malcolm Butler landed in his doghouse a long time ago, starting with the number one reason most people land in doghouses, money. Belichick and the team tried to get him to take a substandard offer. And unlike a lot of other Patriots players, he told him to pound sand. So he gets on Belichick's bad side through that. Then his play slips on the field. It does. You know, he slowly, I think...
He was affected last year because he didn't get the deal that he was looking for.
He didn't get better. He stopped improving. He started freelancing a little bit on the field. Apparently off the field, he was a little bit of an issue, needed babysitting. Maybe there were curfew things. So just like he wasn't the perfect Patriot off the field. His play started to slip on the field. He wasn't dealing with them on a contract. And now you get to the end of the season, and you get to Super Bowl week, and he misses the first couple days of practice in wherever the hell we were, Minneapolis. You forget. So he stayed behind in Boston a day or two to get fluids or went to the hospital, and so that's sort of murky. And so when he does show up, Bill looks at him and goes, F you. Screw this kid. I'll win without him.
Yeah, he looked at him as a pain in the ass, someone that acted bigger than the team. He'd had enough.
And that's it. And that's it. So is that a reason to lose a Super Bowl? Obviously not. So there is no real reason. There was no fight with the coach. There was no missed curfew.
Blowing weed smoke in his kid's face.
It's proven now, don't we know? If Bill likes you, he'll take care of you, Jimmy Garoppolo. If he doesn't like you, screw you, Malcolm Butler. There's no reason given because there was really no reason. Player landed on his bad side, and Bill said at the end of the day, screw you. Jeff in Bridgewater. Go ahead, Jeff. What do you got?
Yeah, see, the thing I don't get is you guys keep popping on. He's loved around here. He can do whatever he wants. Nobody started questioning him until he started losing things. The Garoppolo trade was stupid. Benjamin Butler was stupid. So now people are starting to get his aura is kind of dying a little. And Bill doesn't know how to answer it, so he doesn't. He just moves on because he was always in charge.
Well, Jeff, I think you're right. Bill doesn't know how to handle it. He doesn't. He handles criticism exceedingly poorly, as most people do, right? As we all do. So again, that makes him human. So, but he doesn't know how to sort of serve and
be self-deprecating, right, have a little fun with right. it. Just be human. Perfect. Just be human.
Perfect, Murray. Perfect. That's being artful. That's having that skill, that personal skill. You make fun of yourself, be self-deprecating, serve and volley with the media, or...
Look, we all have bad days. Mine came at a horrible time in the biggest game possible. It happens.
I mean...
I'm not infallible. Oh my God, is it that hard to say, Bill? Jeez.
Or, you know, even if he feels he doesn't, you know, if he feels he didn't do anything wrong. It's, guys, I understand the question, but I just... It's not fair to Malcolm or the team or the current players for me to go back there. So I'm not going to go back there. Do we all have regrets? Of course we should. That was a big loss, but we can't dwell on it because we have a season to get ready for.
Instead, it's unzip, turn around, pull him down, and open up the other mouth. This is how he's going to talk to you.
And I'm telling you, there's a lot of coaches that have come through here who would not answer the question, but at least still give you something that felt like they did and at least have some sort of humanity to them that this guy just can't do it. He just can't bring himself to do it. Ben in Middleton. Go, Ben.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing masterful about Belichick's press conferences like this morning. I mean, he comes out with listing all of his years that he's done great. He's got the biggest ego on the team now. I mean, we've got evidence. You got Amendola's interview. You know, you could hear it in his voice when he was talking about, you know, the Malcolm Butler issue. And then you could hear it in the Jim Gray interview with Brady over the summer. Well, he does say that, you know, Belichick's the best coach. But then, the appreciation thing, I don't really think that's so much about Brady. I think it's so much about Belichick's ego now getting in the way of every decision he's making. That Butler, nothing happened with the Butler situation in the Super Bowl, except Belichick didn't like how he was behaving and punished him. And so I think that this is all starting to catch up to him.
Ben, just let me stop you. Thank you for the call. I think it's impacting a lot of these guys. And Kraft said it in one of those interviews before the Super Bowl. He said it's something like, it's my job to make sure the egos don't get in the way, right? And I think that's impacted Brady and his camp. I think it's impacted Belichick and his camp. And I don't know where Robert is in all of that. I just think he's sort of, you know, maybe feels like he's powerless on part of that stuff. I don't know. But I think both those guys, egos get involved, no question. And they've done such a good job for
almost two
flipping decades, really, right, of not letting that stuff get in the way. And I thought they'd be able to take it to the finish line, but apparently not. But apparently not. They just can't get to the finish line. And it's with the things that sort of affect everybody else and every other team are finally, for the first time, affecting this one. So we continue. We will get to the Red Sox stuff. There is breaking news today on the Red Sox. They have pulled off a trade. You'll hear details on that at the top of the hour, and we'll get into it next hour. But your phones continue in our long commercial-free segment next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a... gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I understand that you do want to talk about this season, but in the last 2 days, a lot has come out about Jimmy Garoppolo, some of the trade and the fall from that. One of the things that came out said you would text him after every win last year. Just curious, is that true, and have you maintained a good relationship with Jimmy since he's left the team?
Yeah. Again, Ben, those are things that happened months ago, and honestly, I'm not too focused on October, November, December of 2017. Trying to get our team ready to go for training camp, and yeah, that's where I'm at.
Looking to this,
I'm not going to engage in stuff that's happened 8 months. I mean, you know, we could talk about a million things that happened 20 years ago. I'm not there.
I thought that was one question we might get an answer. Just to deny it.
Well, isn't that telling in and of itself?
Yes.
He didn't give you a no, and no, I don't know what you're talking about. No, so it's true. He texts Jimmy Garoppolo after wins when he was a San Francisco 49er last year. Way to look off that safety, Jimmy. Eggplant emoji.
Unbelievable. So I thought that was a simple one that, you know, again, because it I don't think it looks great for Bill, that whole story of, you know, fawning over Garoppolo and still texting him and chasing after him, that there would be a denial there.
If nothing else, Mike, it's so insulting to the guy that he still has as the quarterback, the best quarterback in the league, the guy coming off the MVP season. It's so insulting. He's out there texting his football son, Jimmy Garoppolo, after wins, and probably still this offseason. You getting ready for the upcoming season? On to 2018. LOL. Send.
So, all right. Again, we're just giving you highlights of the Belichick press conference today. Carlton in Tampa. What were your thoughts, Carlton?
The Boston sports media are a bunch of pathetic Patriots sock puppets who Bill abuses continuously, and that yet the media lays down and acts like a battered spouse. But I'll answer Shaughnessy's question for him. Butler wouldn't take Bill's cram-down offer as a restricted free agent. And then when Bill tried to negotiate a trade for Butler, for Cox, you know, with the New Orleans Saints, without even having the rights, the contract rights to trade Butler, Butler wouldn't sign his tender. And then Belichick had egg on his face with his buddy Sean Payton, and Bill had to cough up his number one pick, or his first round pick, you know, number 32, to get Cooks. And Bill waited for his big moment to be his vindictive toolbox self, which happened to be in the last time he had any control over Butler in the Super Bowl. And you guys realize that the last couple of days, Skip Bayless on Undisputed has repeatedly argued that because Belichick traded Garoppolo for less than the Browns offered, and because then he turned around and he sat Butler in the Super Bowl, that Robert Kraft should fire Bill Belichick. But what Bayless doesn't realize is Bill is already the Walking Dead, guys. Kraft effectively sent Bill packing when Bill had his little sock puppets down there in Foxborough smear Butler after the Super Bowl, and Kraft did the 180 with McDaniels. And so now the rabid dog, Bill Belichick, is now on Kraft's leash, and he's toast because he's not going to be able to handle it. And Bill's going to be pissed off from now until Bill finally walks away.
Okay.
I think there is something to that. I mean, McDaniels coming
back. I think
Carlton
was right on everything he just said.
Yeah. I mean, McDaniels being back in the fold clearly pissed him off. If that Karen Garigian column's to be believed over the weekend, and I think that that's true. He had nothing to do with that. It was Kraft and Brady. So he's been snipped to some extent.
Oh, he's definitely been snipped. Absolutely. And the thing with the restricted free agency and the contract. Yes, yes, yes. You want to get on Bill's bad side? Start with the contract. Now, that doesn't bury you. You know, it doesn't bury every player with him. He's rebounded. You know, he got into contract things with Vince Wilfork and others, and they were able to patch it up. So it's not like a total death sentence, but it's where it starts. It starts with that. And that's where it started with Malcolm Butler.
Oh, especially at a player like Butler that I have to think he looks at and say, I made you in this specific game 2 years ago. I made you a household name, and now you're going to do this to me? You're not going to take this offer, and you're going to act like this? Just, you know, a little off the reservation? Your ass is benched.
But I, you know, we often wonder who watches all that Fox stuff. It's Carlton. Carlton's the one who's watching all those Fox talk shows.
Always referencing FS, everything on FS1. It's you, huh?
Amazing. That sounds like a pretty snappy take, though, by Skip Bayless. Kraft should fire Bill Belichick. That's a hot Bold. Take. That's a good one. Here's Jim in Methuen. Hi, Jim.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
Well, listen, you guys are driving me crazy with this stuff about Garoppolo and Butler. And this guy Carlton, I don't know who he is, but I had to take my dog for a walk because I was so angst up about it. I think it shows just how human Belichick is by these couple things with Garoppolo and Butler. Butler was obviously a decision that was made that he had feelings in. He brought Butler into the team and made him who he was. He helped make him who he was. And when it got down to the nitty-gritty in the Super Bowl, he had to make a decision, and he made it, and he stuck by it.
Okay, so look, yes, Jim, it makes him human, but... All right, so fine, it makes him human. Good. He's human. He's not a bot. But it's also it also got in the way of winning.
Right, but now if he goes back on that, what is it going to do? It's going to show a sign of weakness. It's going to show the other kids on the team. Don't forget, Belichick has to be a shrink for half these guys. They're all kids.
Wait, so hold on. How does that hurt his standing in the room if he says, you know, we all made mistakes in that game, including me? Like, how does that hurt him?
Well, I agree on that statement. But as a whole, to keep you know, going out there and making apologies or...
I'm not asking him to keep going on and make apologies, Jim. Thanks for the call.
Just own this one mistake.
I mean, to do it, all you do is say it once. And it's on the record, and it's referenced, and there's no need to keep asking the question.
And there's recent proof of when a coach doesn't own a horrific mistake, it can tear apart the locker room, and it tears apart the team, the Seattle Seahawks, and not handing off to Marshawn Lynch on the one-yard line. It ripped that locker room apart. They couldn't trust Pete Carroll and Daryl Bevel going forward, and rightfully so. So if you're even – okay, so just the core
and
guys –
And Pete never admitted he screwed up.
Right.
He said it's a great play unless it doesn't work. You know, it's like he never said that was a mistake.
And that's why I think what would go a long way to getting, you know, Brady and Edelman and Gronk at least back in close to fully is just to say, hey, I screwed this one up, guys. You know what? I'm not infallible. I know. Look, I've looked at as the greatest coach of all time. You know, that's all lip service. But what people want to say, what they're going to say. You know what? I screwed this one up. I'll own it.
If it doesn't happen, it's because something really, really crazy happens and comes out. Something really, somebody does some freaky stuff.
Now, look. I mean,
instead, it's how dare you question
the
me.
Pass is a great idea to throw the ball to get your touchdown against those guys, unless it doesn't happen.
Pete's a bad role model. I don't want to use Pete as a role model. I do know this with Bill. If he answered,
it's called Halo.
If he answered some of the questions, the question would stop. The reason it keeps being asked is because there's no answer. But again, as I keep saying, there really is no good answer. I think, you know, we want an explanation that isn't there. The player was on the coach's bad side. He didn't like what he saw the last week, and he held it against him and made it personal. And that's what happened.
Throw it, Beth.
Poor Pete. Here's Tim in the car. Go ahead, Tim.
So the reason why it's driving you crazy so much is because you and Belichick are exactly alike in your personality.
Yeah, I mean, my people skills aren't great either. I mean, all fine. That's fair enough.
Listen, it drives you crazy the way that he treats the media and the way that he answers the media, but that's how you deal with your callers. When you don't like something or you don't like the way someone is spinning something on you, you yell, oh, this is the Felger show and I have the red button and I'm in charge. Well, that's what Belichick is doing at the podium. It's his show. He's in charge. He has the red button. And when he doesn't want to answer something, he doesn't have to answer it either. That's why I think it drives you so crazy, is because you two are so identical. If it doesn't fit his narrative, he doesn't have to talk about it. If you're spinning something and it doesn't fit your narrative, you don't have to talk about it. But for some reason, it drives you crazy that he doesn't. I think that you have Belichick footy pajamas that you wear at night, and you go home and study his playbook and try to do to your callers exactly what he does to the media.
Tim, it's a stretch.
My favorite caller ever. I love Tim more than anything.
Guy nailed it. 100% I mean, nailed it.
Couldn't be more perfect, and it never occurred to me, but I think it's spot on.
Total stretch. We don't drop callers we disagree with. We drop callers who have crappy phones or take too long to get to their point. What was that?
Bad phone.
What was it? Who snorted?
Yeah, bad phone.
That was a snortle.
That was my Bill Belichick snortle.
I see you were pretending me being Bill Belichick.
Talk to it like it's a slice of pizza.
My people skills suck. I'll find that. That's where there is some commonality there, and I will grant the caller that point. And I'm not telling you I could handle these situations.
But there is a level of humility, I believe, with Mike Felger. You could have axed that commercial that the Bruins put together.
I think this show has a fair amount of self-deprecation, but be that as may, my people skills suck. Fine.
Murray, your take's taking too long. Go. Cut it short.
Fair enough.
Find it on the internet, Murray.
But we don't cut off people we disagree with. We cut off people who suck. There's a difference.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.